Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Rick Moore, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Look at Big Chick in the studio.
No, man.
Lorenzo Neal. We are loaded here today.
Oh, my goodness.
Dan Devone alongside Lorenzo Neal, Carter Chickering, Jersey Ken. I mean, this is a star-studded cast.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is. Remember the Fat Boys? This is worse than the Fat
Come
Boys.
Come on, that's the analogy? That's the analogy, the Fat Boys?
I had to go old school on you, baby. You know, okay. I want to. Oh, my goodness. I know what I had to ask you just to get this thing kicked off. How do you think the Niners fans and the Niners feel after watching that what you call football game last night, where Chicago Bears in Seattle was only able to muster 9 points in four quarters? If you're the Niners, do you watch that game and just like throw up and like what the hell happened to us? How did we let Seattle come in here and beat us when their offense is so anemic? They're not a good team. They play decent defense, but you watch the way Chicago, this kid's got sacked already almost 70 times, might break David Carr's record of getting sacked for the Houston Texans. Watching that game was just like awful.
Yeah, I know you're setting me up. How should the Niner fans feel? Just as you laid out, that's not a good football team?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think their defense is... I know Chicago's got some issues. I mean, wow. You talk about the proverbial tire fire. That Chicago mess. I actually thought when you looked at some of the pieces, DJ Moore and Roma Dunze, and you got Caleb Williams, and the defense, it's not bad. I used to think that was an attractive landing spot for a coach.
Yeah, you went out and got Keenan, a great receiver.
I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole, man. I wouldn't go anywhere. Even if, I know Pete Carroll wants to go there. Pete, man, do what it is that you're doing. Just watch the gate rust or whatever it is that you're doing on your porch out and wherever you live these days. I would not touch Chicago. I'd love to see Pete Carroll back in the game. I think Chicago is a mess.
But like you said, defensively they have some guys. It's you can't, and everyone's talking about Vrabel. You got to bring an offensive guy kind of thing there, or get a defensive guy that's going to bring an offensive juggernaut. Because offensively, just watching the inability to protect the quarterback, I mean, they were just running through last night. Linebackers, no one even blocking them, watching them play. And still, they almost beat the Seattle Seahawks, who's still has a chance to go to the playoffs. I'm like, Niners, they got to be watching that just sick.
Well, this is what I would say if I was a Seattle fan. I don't think you're that far away. I like what McDonald's been able to do. You need a quarterback. Imagine them with a quarterback. Imagine Joe Burrow's on Seattle. Well, no, Joe Burrow's isn't fair because he's taken a crappy team like Cincinnati almost to the playoffs. We'll find out. But
how about Purdy there?
Purdy would work.
What, how far would they go?
Are we getting rid of Purdy?
You're saying a quarterback. How much is? Because I think Purdy's better than Geno. I really do.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Geno's a ham and egger.
Okay, so how much of a step up is it, and how far do they go? Since you think, because I think their defensively, Seattle can play some. They play good defense.
They've always played defense. I think that they didn't draft a quarterback the last couple of years because they were invested in Geno. They felt as though they found sort of their guy. But I think it's time to, if you get somebody that's legitimate at quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, I think that's a team that can contend in the NFC West. I mean, they're contending right now. And
what's legitimate to you, though? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I know. So that's
I threw Purdy out there, and I didn't see you just jump over to. I didn't see you just like, hey, I love this.
Purdy would work in Seattle. Work fine. If Purdy was in Seattle this year, I think the Seattle Seahawks are clearly the winner of that division. I don't think the Rams are catching them on the last day, or it's not coming down to week 17. I think they win that division by at least two or three games if Purdy was their quarterback. Geno Smith, keep in mind, he didn't throw a pick yesterday, but he's tied for the NFL lead in interceptions. And his interceptions are at the worst time. I'm talking about late in games and deciding games. And that's what he's noted for. And he's one of those guys like, what do you see? What are you looking at? I don't know, Brock Purdy's had a few of those, but it's one of those that Seattle hasn't changed from McDonald, who's a defensive-minded guy, to, of course, Pete Carroll, who was all about defense prior to him.
Whose line's better? If you look at Seattle's offensive line compared to the Niners stuff, who's got better running backs?
Yeah, so it's always been about just run with Walker and put it on the defense. That hasn't changed in over a decade. So it's about managing the game and doing just enough. And with, you know, Njigba, and then you got some wide receivers there with Lockett. Yeah. Fant at tight end. Yeah. I think that if you can do just enough and be good as a quarterback, which Brock Purdy clearly is, and clearly an upgrade from Geno Smith, I think the Seattle Seahawks win that division by three games easily.
So there at Seattle, is he a $50 million guy then in Seattle?
No, I didn't say that.
You're pretty high to just say, hey, throw this guy in there. They're three games better than the Rams. They win that conference, but I don't see it.
You don't?
No, I can't.
You don't put it on Geno?
I do put it on Geno, but at the same sense, I don't think Seattle's better than the Niners right now. You beat them earlier in the year with the same guys without McCaffrey. You lost to them here. So when you're saying put him on that team, how much different? Do you want their running backs compared to the Niners running back? Do you want their tight end compared to the Niners tight end? So when you're saying that, now I understand the big boy, the receiver, he can do some amazing things.
DK Metcalf,
but you know, he's not a great necessary route runner. He's just big, physical, can run through people, run faster than guys. So
bad personal fouls yesterday,
but yeah. So I just don't see that. So that's the part that I'm just like, wow.
So you're saying if he couldn't succeed at San Francisco, why would he succeed in Seattle?
Because I mean, Ask the fans out there, do you think Seattle's roster is better than the Niners? And that's a question that's why I was kind of wanting to talk about, because I don't see Seattle's roster better than the Niners. No, I think that Seattle has a better defensive front.
You might be right, but you know what your man Bill Parcells says, you are what your record are. And so the 49ers, unfortunately, we don't play this game. It's not a video game. We don't look at rosters and say, well, this guy's better than this guy. And, well, at the end of the day, we have more better players than you guys, so we're a better team. The Seattle Seahawks are still looking to go to the playoffs, and the Niners are headed to Cabo. So
you're right.
There's, you know, Seattle, unfortunately, is a better team this year. And you might be right.
I don't think the fans may believe that. I think when you look at, bro, the game that they played here, and Geno's rocking the baby, people were sick. They should have beat that. What was the big deal? So that's the only thing I'm saying. We made a statement. I said, do you feel that, hey, if he's there, if Purdy's there, is this team that much better? You said three games better. They win the division by three games better than the Rams. And I disagreed because I don't think that they have this. I think they're equal or maybe a little less than the Niners. And we couldn't, and Purdy couldn't do it. So why, by putting him on another team without the tight end, without necessarily the weapons that you had here compared to Seattle? That's all I'm saying.
Well, because they have a better record.
Have a better record. Does that make them? Yeah. You are what you know. You got me there. You are what your record says.
You know, when we talk about Chicago, and that game last night. By the way, if you missed it,
you didn't miss anything.
Thursday night football. Let me just start there. I have an issue with Thursday night football. You played the game, so again, man, you need to speak to this. I think playing football on a Thursday, it's a money grab. That's the only reason they do it. Is the powers that be in the NFL are lining their pockets. But the players' union's in on this as well.
Agreed.
Because they're getting a slice.
Agreed.
And the players realize, oh, we can make more, this much more money. Yeah, let's play on Thursday. Give us a piece of that pie. But I just think physically, and you know this, for what it is that you do on a Sunday, to turn around and play football with like one day of practice, and if you're traveling, it's like, you know, 3 days later to play that game, you're going to get that sort of a product more often than not.
No question. And that's why you didn't – lack of scoring, lack of – guys were trying, but I think it's horrible. When you play on a Thursday night, play Sunday, you got to turn around and play on a short week, it is very, very tough on these guys' body. I don't like it. I know these guys get more paid by doing it, but like you said, it's very, very hard on these guys' body. It's very tough on these coaches, and guys don't like it. No way they like that game.
You know, I just saw my man Matt from Seattle. I'm going to get right back to the Niners, but he does – this is when you know it's a slow day.
Okay.
So he does the PA, the intros for the Warriors.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if Matt can grab a mic and just intro us. Like, I would like to pretend that I'm coming off the bench for the Golden State Warriors and starting a guard. I don't know if we can get any music and if he could give us an intro for, you know, this is Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone. But while he's doing that, he's looking for his stuff. We'll get back to him in just a sec. I just saw him out of the corner of my eye.
I
used to pitch. So if you're leading off, off of third base or off of, I'm going to see you out of my periphery. I got remarkable periphery. I'm like an insect.
Yeah.
All right? So getting back to the to the Chicago Bears and the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, last night. Where are you at with Caleb Williams? I can't get my arms around him. Just when I'm about to say give him time, we all know, I just told you how horrid it is out there in Chicago. And the coaching is a joke. It's a place much like that of Sam Darnold. It's going to a place to lose and develop bad habits. But then I also, like, there's no anticipation. He holds on to it too long. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. But at the same time, he has that raw athleticism where I'm like, no, it's the system he's in. Where are you at with the young man who was the number one pick overall, Caleb Williams?
There was one play last night. It's 3rd and 13. Seattle brings the house. He backs up. He's backing up. There's no way he should be able to get this ball. He throws a dime over the top, over defender's head, throws it into the breadbasket. They move the chains. He can make some plays, but I'm just telling you, watching Chicago Bears play football, and yeah, you got to put some of it on the quarterback, but I don't necessarily think he's, you know, he's got a long way to mature and to get better, but there is so much that I saw. You had the Mike and the Will linebackers go to A gaps. No one blocked them. When you see those guys walk up, the line says squeeze. Now the guard and two guards, they block down, and you let the big guys go. But instead, you could let the speedy guys go. It was a jailbreak last night. They couldn't protect. He gets sacked over 60 sometimes. David Carr, like you said, he's only like 6 or 7.
And that offensive line is ridiculous.
It's ferocious. So do you put some of it on the quarterback? Absolutely. But my goodness, the line is a sieve. They don't know protection schemes. They're not blocking guys. They're turning guys loose. You have a chance of ruining this guy. I wouldn't play him. I would kind of do what Carolina did for their young quarterback when they put in the redhead pistol Andy Dalton for a couple weeks and you saw him mature. You got that kid out there, you're rolling him out there, and Caleb looks like a deer in the headlights. His head's down. He walks off the field, huffing and puffing. He's shot.
I was looking at their roster and their offensive line. I want to say three of those guys are undrafted free agents.
They're bad.
All those guys are There's nobody they invested in the first two rounds. It is really bad. And I get it. Somebody pointed this out. I lost him on the text line. The SEL has become, I guess I was talking more about Pete Carroll and more so McDonald early on, but they have become a pass-first football team. I still, with that being said, I still don't have a lot. I have watched a lot of Geno Smith, to answer someone on the text line. And I just don't think Geno is that guy. Geno is, he's not bad. He makes plays. He's serviceable. But if you had an upgrade, and they do throw a lot in Seattle, it's not like back in the Legions of Doom where it's all about the defense and just hand off to Marshawn Lynch and let's control the clock that way. They do throw the ball as much as anybody in the NFL. I just think an upgrade from Geno Smith, whether it's Brock Purdy who's not going to Seattle, but an upgrade from Brock Purdy, and I do think that Seattle is a much improved football
team. Let me ask you a question. Megatron, when you look at the receiver, the big 14, when you see him go vertical.
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. Okay. Seattle wants to throw vertical. Does Geno, who throws a better deep ball? Who fits that offense? When you're talking about Purdy and you're talking about Geno, who throws a better deep ball?
I would say Geno throws a better deep ball.
Okay. So for what they want to do, who would need to, can Purdy adapt to what they want to do because they have Metcalf, they know they want to beat you deep. Does he fit? So I understand what you said because I think Purdy's more efficient. Those underneath, smarter, more cerebral. I get it than Geno. I'm 100% with you. But when you're saying that, hey, look, this team will be three games up over the Rams if they had Purdy,
You gave me Purdy. I'm saying if you had a good quarterback.
I can't let you run. I walked you in it, and you jumped on it, and you said, give me, because we're talking about making a quarterback investment of $55 million, possibly $62 million, maybe even higher. But you're talking about he's a serviceable guy, Geno. So you're talking about this is the kind of money the Niners are getting ready to put out in a quarterback, and you're not willing to say, hey, wow, I think he can do that. Think about where you're at as a Niner, watching the Niners, seeing Purdy. Look, you're not willing to push all your chips and say, Purdy, go there. He deserves $57 million.
That's a good point. Well, let's get back to it. All right. This is our new legal ID at the top of the hour. The voice, the PA announcer for the Warrior Games, Matt Pittman, take it away.
On KGMZ, FM San Francisco, a sharpshooter at 6'1 out of the University of Arizona, number 34, Dan DeBone.
Wow.
Oh. And at point guard, 5'11 out of Fresno State, a four-time Pro Bowl selection, number 41, Lorenzo Neal.
Wow, that's good stuff.
There he is.
Man.
Not Pittman, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now go to the sink and clean all those glasses that KCBS leaves every day. No, he's part of KCBS. And,
hey, he's got to keep that. Send me that link. I'm gonna throw that on my Twitter. You guys want to hear something pretty good? There you go. I like it.
Let's give it. So, listen, I guess this gets back to the Brock Purdy conversation. You wanted to take it there. I was trying to make an observation about Seattle.
I wasn't going
to
let you get off when you sit there and you. I told you how putrid that game was last night. And we talked about only scoring, didn't even score a touchdown. By the way, the props was, if you would have laid $100 last night, no touchdown being scored, you would have won $18,000 off $100.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're going to continue to talk about Brock Purdy, the 49ers. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions. We are sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. We're going to continue. Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone, 95.7 The Game continues right after this.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Lorenzo Neal, Dan Avone, here until 6 o'clock. Well, till 6:30. Thanks to our man, Evan Giddings, who's
excited to get drunk. I'm just going to say it, you know. Party tonight like a rock star.
I'm out.
Evan Giddings, who had to just look at that. That seat at the corner bar is all his, man.
Right,
it's Friday.
Right, exactly.
It's happy hour. He's got priorities. I understand it. Like, I don't give a rip about my responsibilities at a radio station and the contract
right,
I'm under.
Right.
It's Friday, bro.
Right, Friday night. Let
and
me
I'm
get
a young
it in.
Man.
Yes.
And I'm single.
Yes. And you and I, you know, being responsible individuals, and we're going to take it for the team. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. And then we'll be at the bar at 6:30.
Here we go. And we'll be right behind you.
All right, let's get into... Oh, wait, hold on.
You got to get legal, right?
No, not yet.
No? Okay.
Legal's at the top of the hour.
My bad.
We already did the legal with Matt Pittman.
Yes.
I'm going to bring him in at the top of every hour to introduce us. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame and youtube.com/957thegame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 957 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. And make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. And if you like the show, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You know, it's one of the reasons why you are who you are. You don't swear. You're a very gentle sort of soul, although you're huge and you played fullback and put your head through walls for a living.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you're not a guy who swears. And I just, as I was reading that, I always think about young broadcasters who are coming into the industry. And some of them will, you know, they're dropping F-bombs and they're doing this while they're in studio. And they may think that they're at a break or that they've, you know, we'll be right back right after this. And on television, I always say the minute you step into that studio, the minute you come within 30 feet of it, stop that.
Right.
Erase all of that.
Right.
Because there's always a hot mic.
Right.
There's somebody in the back that forgot to turn off a mic.
Sure.
You never know when you walk into a studio. For all you young people who want to get on television, want to be sportscasters, you potty mouth people, you.
No.
Just don't do it when you step into the studio, even if you think. If you screwed up a segment and you go to a break, save that stuff when you get to the car or you want to get home and yell at your animals. All right, let's get back into the 49ers taking on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things here. First of all, it's a game, I get it. You know, the 49ers, unlike previous seasons, it's done. You're not going to the playoffs. I want to talk to you about a guy who's been in that situation, first of all, in terms of incentivizing the 49ers. What is the reason if I'm Kittle, or why is it that I'm getting out of bed? Obviously, you're getting a handsome paycheck. It's what you do for a living. But talk about a team that isn't playing for the playoffs, that's accustomed to being in that position just about each and every year. And then I also want you to talk about Detroit and their mentality and how it reflects Dan Campbell, whether it's a game that's inconsequential or not. He's playing everybody, and he's going all out to beat the living crap out of you.
Yeah, no question. Dan Campbell, he's going to come into town on the Monday night, and they're not taking any prisoners. This is about finishing. This is a game that you know that you got bulletin board material that you say, here's a game we're up by double digits, and we lost this game, and we catapulted the Niners in the Super Bowl. Let's remember that feeling. You know what, guys? They're down, but let's not let them play spoiler for us. And that's why Dan Campbell, I love what he's doing. He's told the media, and he said, look, I don't care what happens between Minnesota and the Green Bay Packers. We're taking this road trip, and we're going with the message, and that's to make sure we ensure our number one seed. We're not taking anything for granted. We're not holding back players. We're going to play these guys no matter what. I am not letting you guys start putting in scenarios. Hey, coach, well, if this happens, if Green Bay beats them, you already clinched the number one spot. Would you let guys rest? He said, guys, just start. Stop right there. Go ride it. I'm not letting these guys rest, because he's not going to let that doubt slip in the player's mind. Dan Campbell played in the National Football League. Aaron Glenn played in the National Football League, his DC. So you're talking about two guys that understand the mentality of football. You saw last week the Buffalo Bills said, hey, we're getting ready to have a layup. We're playing a team that only has 3 wins and 10 losses and getting ready to play against that team. You know, the New England Patriots. And Buffalo came out there and they played fat, flat. And New England Patriots came out there to play spoiler and damn near beat them because they wasn't in the mindset and they wasn't ready to play, and it turned into a dogfight. Dan Campbell does not want this to turn into a dogfight. He understands that he's playing a team that they should dominate. He understands they're playing a team that he knows that how they're built. They're the Niners, and they're coached by a great coach in Kyle Shanahan. They're going to show you that they don't have no quit on it. But in the back of the mind, as a player, when you know you're not playing for nothing and a team jumps up on you, you're like, I just want to finish this season. I'm just going to give it my all. I'm going to do my job. You're just saying, I have to finish the season. And that's what you're playing. You're playing a Niners team that guys are like, look, I know we're not going anywhere. I want to finish my season. I want to play solid. But you're not trying to break records. You're in a different mind. You're not trying to break records. You're not trying to go for four or five. It's just different when you're out of it, completely out of it. You're not playing for the Pro Bowl. You already know that the voting's already done. All these other things are done. It's just you're trying not to get hurt. You're trying to put your stamp on it. You're just trying to play consistent. You just want to show up and just do your job.
So you don't have an issue with Dan Campbell. Should it be an inconsequential game playing his guys and having the same mentality, biting kneecaps and just going all out?
I don't. I love it. And here's the deal. I really believe.
But what if somebody gets hurt?
He doesn't care. You see the way that this guy, he understands it's football. And yeah, you should think about it, you know, if someone gets hurt. But Dan Campbell is going to make sure these guys.
Could that be his undoing, though, at the end of the day? Going forward on fourth down, the onside kick.
Look at it. It was last year.
Yeah.
They should have kicked the field goal against the Niners, and you win that game. There are some very questionable, but that's the way Dan Campbell plays. But then you look at
respect.
Dan Campbell. You
respect.
Saw him go for it on fourth down. You saw, and it turned out to be successful. So at times, you gamble. You saw Baltimore. Four times, it was fourth down. Fourth down, they played against the Chargers. It's fourth and down and one or two. Do you know they went for it every single time and they got it because they knew that kind of game it was? So sometimes coaches have to make that gamble, even if they're on their 20-yard line, no matter what. So I think that Dan Campbell is a hell of a coach. I think those guys follow him. They'll follow him anywhere. But, yeah, I think that if they're winning this game, I do believe that they can pull off if something happens. You can put guys on the bench. You can still pull guys out in the second quarter.
Well, he won't do that.
My question is,
according to him,
if Green Bay wins that game, he's going to still tell those guys, we're going to go out here, we're going to win this game, and he'll start. But then he knows he can pull them off. He knows that certain times he might not let them play the whole game. But he's going to want those guys to go out there and execute and play at a high level. That's what he's teaching. That's what he's conditioning these guys to. He's saying, don't worry about the other circumstances. Let's take care of what we can take care of. I don't care what happens with Green Bay. I don't care what about that game. Let's play Detroit Lions football. That's what he's preaching.
Okay, so then compare and contrast this with Kansas City and Andy Reid, who's obviously not going to play his game. He's not going to play his guys for a month.
That's a lie. Because if Andy Reid does that, Andy Reid knows they're not winning a Super Bowl.
Really?
The worst thing you
so
can
you
do is
think Mahomes
20,
and all those guys are going to go?
If you give those guys 24 days off, you are asking to get defeated because your timing's off, you're not hitting, you're not doing those things, and you can't emulate real speed and real game tempo at practice. That'd be the stupidest thing Andy Reid's ever done if the next 2 weeks he says, I'm pulling these guys out. And I'll tell you what he will do. He'll start them and say, we're going to treat this like the preseason. I'm going to give you guys this first half, and you better play hard, and you better do that because this is your timing, because you guys know what's at stake. It's a Super Bowl. It's a chance to three-peat, a chance to do something that a lot of teams haven't been able to do. Mm. So do you think he's going to sit there and say, oh, guys, I'm not going to suit you up. You're not going to play. Oh, no, Mahomes. Now, Mahomes, maybe because of the ankle, but you're going to play your starters. I guarantee you 1,000% that he plays those guys at least a quarter, two quarters, because that would be stupid. Absolutely crazy for a head coach for the next 2 weeks not to play his starters and give them 24 days without hitting and without playing a real football game. That would be stupid. But they're going to – let me tell you what, though. We're talking about Kansas City. Kansas City will lose to Denver. And it's not because they want to rest guys. It's not because they want to rest guys. It's because there's a guy that has Kansas City's number, and you know who that is.
Yes, I do.
Joe Cool,
yep.
Joe Burrow's. Can look face to face with anyone. And the whole AFC does not want to see the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs, because watch what Cincinnati does to a Denver Bronco team. You're talking about a rookie quarterback, Bo Nix. Everyone's been talking about how great he is. Watch what Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals do to these guys. They're going to be on.
So you could see a lot of Carson Wentz. So you're saying don't rest the guys. I can appreciate that.
You can't.
I think Patrick Mahomes. I can't.
Watch. You can't, as a head coach.
You can't rest.
The time. Yeah. The timing is. It's too critical. You just now got your stride. Think about you and I yesterday. We're talking about Kansas City Chiefs. They looked like they couldn't score. All of a sudden, you get all.
What
your
was the one knock on them all year? They can't blow anybody out. Guess what they're doing now?
Blowing teams.
Look out.
Out. So why would you lose that rhythm? Even though you don't want guys to play long and get hurt, you're absolutely right. You don't want to get anyone hurt. But you play football, and you know there's risk involved. That's why I think that they played for at least a half.
I have some sad news to pass along. Are you familiar with Greg Gumbel?
Yes, Greg Gumbel, great voice. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he called a lot of your games back in the day. He passed away today at the age of 78. Greg Gumbel, of course, with his brother, who is a broadcast legend as well.
Yes.
Brian Gumbel, the host of Inside Sports on HBO. And yes. Greg Gumbel, who has done a myriad of things, including March Madness. And Greg Gumbel dies today at the age of 78. And he called games, I want to say, with Phil Simms on CBS.
Yes.
And the voice of football for so many years. And I'm pretty critical when it comes to play-by-play guys.
Yeah, sure.
And Greg Gumbel was good. He wasn't my favorite, but he was good.
He was good. He had that voice.
Yeah, and he was just not somebody that would get in the way, or is not somebody, wasn't about him. He didn't need to hear his own voice. He would, as they like to say, lay out. He understood less is more, and he was good, and he's going to be missed. R.I.P. Greg Gumbel, dead today at the age of 78.
So it's nothing like me that would step on you all the time when you're going. I'm like, let me jump in there, Dan. Let me get in there. I think he was good. I used to love Keith Byers. Whoa, Nelly. This,
Keith Jackson.
Whoa, Nelly. That was Keith Jackson.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah, that was, that's
the big ugly's up front.
Yes.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome to Oklahoma.
Right. Just how he, that's good. That was good, by the way. Yeah. He had that pause and that draw and how he just lined it up and you just,
you know, wow. He went to school?
No.
Washington State.
He's.
Don't you think he was, I never thought he'd be a Pac-12 kind of guy, but. Anyways,
yeah,
you're right. That's a good call.
Yeah,
that was college football back in the day. Keith Byers, did you play with him?
Yeah, Keith Byers,
pride of Ohio State.
Keith Byers, number 41, played there. He played in, with New England Patriots and with the Jets. Keith Byers,
I thought he'd have a bigger NFL career.
Yeah, little Keith. Yeah,
yeah, little to you maybe.
He's big boy, tight end Keith Byers.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about the NFL. We're going to get into the Warriors. We're going to get into. What's going on with the Warriors taking on L.A. and, of course, losers of 11 of their last 14? We spoke to Steve Kerr last night. I want to sort of follow up on what it is that he had to say, some sort of candid remarks. And we're also going to have a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Chucky, Charlie Walter.
Charlie.
Yes, he used to, you know what he used to do? He used to work at KPIX, the station you're with.
I know Charlie Walter.
Yeah, and so now he's.
What's Charlie up to?
Well, now he's doing a Warriors show, Locked On Warriors. He's all about the Warriors, and he's got them inside and out, and he's going to give us sort of the latest and what's going on, the inner workings of the Golden State Warriors coming up at 3 o'clock. But I just want to stick with football for a moment here, and we'll get back to the San Francisco 49ers, and if you ever want to, like, you know, bring it back to the Niners, feel free, kind of like the way you just boxed and won me with Brock Purdy and the Seattle Seahawks.
Exactly.
So, okay, ask me again. Do I think the Seattle Seahawks are a better football team with Brock Purdy as their quarterback? Is that the question?
And we both agreed yes.
Yeah, okay.
But you said three games better, and I said, I don't know about that, because when you look at the Niners, and I want the text line, I love you guys to chime in or call in. Who you guys siding with here? Do you rather have the Niners roster, or you rather have Seattle's roster? And if you switch quarterbacks, is Seattle now a better team than the Niners? And you just switch, are the Niners better? So because you're saying Brock Purdy, if they had Brock Purdy, they would have a three-game lead over the Rams. And I'm saying, how can you say that when the Niners' talent is just as good, if not better, than Seattle? And so I don't want to be biased. Help me out, text line. Let me know.
You know what? I want to rephrase that. Now that I think about it, I want Seattle's roster. If I'm the GM and I can swap a one-for-one, I want Seattle's roster. And here's why. They're younger. Their window is just opening. Meanwhile, I think when you think about Kittle, you think about Debo, better players, certainly. Resume, much more impressive than anybody who's on a Seattle Seahawks football team or is on that roster. But I think that they're still ascending up the mountain. And their youth on that offensive line and their youth defensively, they're a draft pick or two away, and yes, a quarterback. And if it's Brock Purdy, and I'll stand by, they win that division by two or three games. I would rather have Seattle's roster simply because they're headed in the right direction as opposed to the 49ers.
But guess what? You switched it. I like how you just did that bait and switch. No one talked about, would you rather have a younger roster?
Well, no, asked me whose roster, Seattle's roster is younger.
Yeah, right. But I said, so who's better today? I told you because you said, you made a statement that they'd be three games better if they had Brock. I'm making a statement. How can you say that when the Niners are better than them today? And they played this year. They were better than them the first game. In the second game, clearly, they should have won that game. So when you're saying that Brock makes Seattle three games better than the Rams, what the hell happened to the Niners when we know today, not I know in the future, Seattle's got a younger team. So, yes, their roster, you'd rather have their roster for the long haul.
I got you.
But right now, today, and that's why I'm like, is this a 50? And I tied it into, is this a $50 million or $55, $62 million quarterback that Seattle should invest in if you're saying Geno's not the guy and you're saying that's all that they're missing?
Got it.
That's all I'm asking.
So what you're saying is more of an indictment on Brock Purdy as opposed to anything else, and just sort of a different way to look at him and his contract.
Yes, I just want people to look
different
at
eyes.
What, yeah. Yes, look what you're looking
for. Fresh eyes, they like this. You know, if they ever go to a crime scene and the detectives bring in another detective because these two detectives have been looking at the crime scene for 2 days, and they bring in a new detective because they want fresh eyes.
Fresh eyes.
We need fresh eyes.
Fresh eyes.
All right, we need a fresh voice. Let's get out to 888-957-9570. I want Rob hanging out in Richmond. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys, two quick ones. Lorenzo, love you. I'm from Madera Ranchos. My dad went to college with you at Fresno State, and you guys took, like, a calculus class.
Okay.
You took calculus?
You and James Burton.
James Burton?
James Burton.
Yes. Come on. I played with James Burton, number 19. What was your dad's name, bro?
His name was Jim Ray. I don't know if you remember him, but okay. He was an older cat.
Yeah. Low cheated
anyway,
off him. Totally did.
Yeah, I think James ended up going to Miami.
Yeah.
Anyway, second one was I was in Tennessee June of this year, Bonnaroo, and Dan, is it Dan? You were on the air, and I'm like, what is he doing? He's a 95.7 guy, and then they had a mystery caller call in, and I believe it ended up being Lorenzo. Am I remembering that right?
No, you're talking about Cozumel. Jim Cozumel was in Tennessee, and he had me come on because him and Blaine Bishop, who I played with the Titans, were doing a show. So Jim Cozumel called me and said, hey, I need you to be the mystery caller. And I got, and then Blaine was trying to figure out who I was, and he had 10 questions that he got to ask me, and I got to disguise my voice and just say yes or no. And Blaine had to try to guess who I was. So that's what that was.
Yeah.
About. Jim Cozumel.
Right on. Well, my dad, you, I don't know if you remember him, but yeah, you and James used to.
Tell him I got an A.
Tell
your dad I said thank you because I think I got a B+ in the class. I didn't want to take all your dad's answers. So, you know, I knew better than to try to take them all because then I knew they would have got me. So tell Pops we said thanks a lot.
Right on, love. Thank you.
Cheers.
By the way, Rob, just for the record, you never catch me doing a show in Tennessee. Unless the bottom is completely flat.
Wait a minute. Tennessee's a great place.
Come on, man.
Have you been?
No, I'm a coastal guy. I go from San Francisco to New York or big coastal cities. I don't go to the South or anywhere
in
between.
Wait.
I'm a brown dude, man. I'm not going to Tennessee.
Don't think like that. Nashville, Tennessee is one of the best.
It's beautiful. Coast says the same thing. I stay in touch with Coast.
Oh,
he loves it.
He loves it. Moved out there. His wife and him, they're freaking real estate.
So high about it.
Tennessee, bro, is one of when I went there, I was like, oh, I'm in Nashville. I think,
Nashville's great music scene.
The town shuts down on Friday.
Yeah.
They close down Bill, and you can't even drive a car down there. Thousands of people's hitting the streets. It's you know what? It's Vegas in the South.
Really?
Just go out there. Take the go.
How many Hawaiian Italians are running around?
Lots of them, brother.
Oh, come on, man.
Bro, come on. Come on. How many Hawaiian Italians run around here in San Francisco? Jiminy, criminy. Hands up. My goodness. Look at this guy.
All right, so we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers. And I guess what you're trying to tell me, indirectly, is Brock Purdy worth what it is that the 49ers have to pay?
And that's what I'm – and pretty much that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that Brock Purdy deserves to be paid. Here's a guy that's outplayed his contract. The guy is, mystery irrelevant. He's a great man, great person, devout Christian. I love Brock Purdy. All I wanted to do was compare and contrast when I saw the game last night, the Chicago Bears and the Seattle Seahawks, that neither team could score a touchdown. You have a team that's fighting for its playoff hopes in the Seattle Seahawks, and you can't score a touchdown against Chicago Bears. And I'm like, wait a minute. You and I, we start having this conversation. You say, if Brock Purdy's on this team, they're three games better than the Rams. I told you I didn't see that because I look at the Niners. They played Seattle this year. The Niners have beaten them, beat them in Seattle, scored them. Brock outplayed him. Come here, you lose to him. But I don't think that the talent, me and you both agree that today, not next year, 3 years, 4 years down the road, but today the Niners have better talent than Seattle. And that's what's hard for me, because you're saying Geno is just a guy, he's a bum, they need a quarterback. You're saying the guy's barely serviceable, which...
No, not a bum. Ham and egg is what I said.
Ham and egg.
Not bad.
So not great.
But I think an upgrade at that position. Someone on the text line is saying, I don't watch Seattle Seahawks football. That's not true. And I know. I'm not saying, you said Brock Purdy. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's a fit for Seattle. I know. No, but the text line is feeding out. You got the text line going nuts on me that I want Brock Purdy's an upgrade. I get it. Brock Purdy can't fit into that system, doesn't throw the deep ball. I'm saying an upgrade from Geno Smith, not necessarily Brock Purdy. And then Seattle is a much better and improved team.
I agree, but my point is this, what you're talking about, 60, maybe 70, 55, 50, 45 million dollars for Brock Purdy. And now when I push you, you're like, wow, here's a guy that is going to receive a lot of money. Can he change a franchise in that big of a deal, in that big of a manner, that deems $50 to $62 million a year?
Hey, Jersey King, can we sneak in Pete from San Ramon, or we want to take him after the break?
Let's wait till after the break.
Pete,
hang in there,
I'm sure Jersey Ken, man, he runs this place. So you got to hang out. Don't go anywhere. And if you do, I'll blame it on Jersey Ken. All right, we'll continue here on 95.7 The Game. Pete from San Ramon.
Sweet Pete.
Well, I thought we were at 2:55.
Oh, we got a couple of more minutes if you want.
And we don't want Pete from San Ramon. Okay. All right, Pete, well, hang in there. Instead, you and I are just going to... Well, all right. So... I think that when it comes to Brock Purdy, and I'll say this again, I don't want him. It all just has to make sense. Prague Marate and the guys who handicap this thing and know the numbers, they're going to decide whether it makes sense financially. If they can sign Greenlaw, which I think is a priority, got to bring him back. If you can get offensive linemen, and then we have enough money, because obviously it's going to be deferred. He's not going to make the 50 or whatever it is in that first year. If it makes sense financially, then pull the trigger on it. But if it doesn't, and if you don't have the capital to do it, then you have to get creative. And creative being, look for leverage. And again, as ridiculous as it might sound, if Sam Darnold is out there, and if Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings come to an impasse, and the history that he has with Kyle Shanahan, that him playing for a lower number is something that I would strongly take into consideration. But a lot has to happen between now and then. All right, now we can get to a break, I believe. And we lost Pete from San Ramon.
Oh, Pete, you better come back.
That's all on Jersey Ken. All right, we continue. We're going to get into a little Golden State Warrior talk.
Let's do it.
All right? You want to go out in the car for a while?
I'm going in the car for a while. You lost me for the next hour.
Warrior basketball. Now we'll get into the football as well. It's Lorenzo Neal, Dan Avone, back after this.